I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into Players Only with Chiefs Radio Network color analyst Danan Hughes.
Excellent throw and catch, just gets inside, uses his big body. No answer for number 87.
And former NFL linebacker Joe Mays.
Mays missed him first. And in typical North Dakota State toughness, Mays got up and stayed with it and got Newton from behind.
Hello. Check this out.
Players Only, presented by U.S. Bank. Whatever your passion, U.S. Bank can help turn it into your next pursuit.
Chiefs Kingdom, what's going on? We are back in the building. Players Only here. I got my boy Joe Mays, former NFL linebacker, 8 years in the NFL, and I am Danan Hughes. And for all the first-time listeners out there, we are with you each and every Thursday during the football season, 6 to 7 p.m., chopping it up, talking about Chiefs football, talking about sports on the field, off the field, athletes, situations. Both of us coming from that unique perspective that we had a seat in that locker room. So we've been going on, what, 2.5 seasons, three seasons strong right now. And we're fortunate that we got at least another week, maybe a few more weeks at the end of this season as we move towards the playoffs here in the Chiefs Kingdom. But we appreciate everybody listening in. And we got some really cool stuff going on with the Chiefs, and we'll get to that in this last week. But this is the first quarter of our show, and it is sponsored by our friends at U.S. Bank. Whatever your passion, U.S. Bank can help turn it into your next pursuit. We are missing one of our the triple threat here, Sean Barber. For those of you that may not have been listening last week, Sean lost his dad. His dad passed away. And this week have been the services. I understand they were via Zoom yesterday or this week, and I didn't get a chance. I didn't even get the link, so I apologize to Barbershop's family that I wasn't able to support. But we got flowers out to them and prayers and condolences to their family.
Absolutely.
As well. That's one of our brothers, and he and his family going through it, and we're just trying to lift him up. But he will, to my understanding, will be back next week.
Yep.
There may be a little bit of a twist in the schedule, and we could talk about that a little later as well. But with next Thursday being Christmas Eve, we may tape a little earlier and then have it available on the radio.com app. I know I have family back in Jersey, Hawkeye family up in Iowa, and anywhere in between. A lot of people that support this show, we really appreciate you. You pull up on the app each and every week. Joe, I don't know if I told you this. Last year, I was told that we were one of the top shows, if not the top show, during our radio slot during the football season. So, props to you.
Hey, man, props to you. I think, you know, we just get a chance to come in here and have fun and joke around and also talk a little bit of ball. But I think it's, you know, just us just building that camaraderie. And I think it just makes the show that much greater. And just continuing to be a voice for the fans here in KC.
So what are you saying? Last year, the show was greater because that was the 1 year Sean Barber wasn't on?
Oh, you know what? I didn't say that.
But yeah, that's what you told me when we was walking in the building. Don't try to clean it up now.
Hey, Barbershop, man, what's happening? I know you out there listening, Do not listen to Dana. Don't try to have Dana, you know, build this wedge in between us two, man. We closest brothers, man. So.
And you linebackers, man, y'all cheat on the field and y'all lie to each other off. See? That's how it is. That's why the compliment of me being a pristine, pure as the driven snow wide receiver, offensive mind in here with y'all. That's why the balance. That's why Steve Spector and have us on here. That's why.
Nah, I think end of the day, they understand. Spec understand that defense win championships, and when it comes to this radio show, they want to hear the defensive guys. They want to hear about the aggressive, the, you know, going out there knocking heads off and doing all those type of things and actually leading a defense and not just, you know, some special teams guy.
Man, all they hear from the defensive people is run, hit, whoever has a different jersey and different helmet on, hit them.
Who don't want to hear that? I think that's every true. Single person that's listening in right now,
They want to hear that?
Yeah, they want to hear that.
All right, well, we're going to get to that because there was some running and hitting and grunting of some opposing players when the Chiefs went down to South Florida, the scene of the crime back in February, where we got our first Super Bowl in 50 years.
Yes.
And they took care of business down there once again. I want to say that over at least the last three seasons, we've owned the state of Florida between Jacksonville, Tampa this year, Miami this year, the Super Bowl, et cetera. We just, you know, maybe the people out here in the Midwest and the Chiefs Kingdom, they like to go south. They like to be in that hot weather.
Oh, yeah, I think so, man. When it comes to playing here in the Midwest, you know it gets cold, and we can take care of business in the cold, and the heat doesn't matter. But when you go to Florida, it's a little something
different.
It's a little something in the air. It's warm out there. You know, you get a chance to play under the spotlight. Yeah, I think them guys just love to go out there and perform and play and put it all out there on the field, man.
And it looked like, just before we get more to it, the phone lines and the text lines are open, 913-576-7610. But you're right, Joe. When they got down there, it seemed like they kind of picked up where they left off.
Oh, yeah.
Got behind by 10 points, mirror image of the Super Bowl, came back, scored 30 straight points, somewhat mirror image of the Super Bowl and what they were able to close out there with. But then they let them back in the game. That's kind of been a trend for a portion of this season. Now, I don't know, and I'd love to hear from people on the phone lines or the text lines, because I personally don't know if it's an indictment of the Chiefs or if it's a credit to the other team. In this situation, I want to give credit to Brian Flores and the Miami Dolphins. And Tua Tagovailoa came through in that game in special fashion, not just because if you look at his numbers and the fact that they scored 17 points in the fourth quarter and put it within one score, but he was down his number one wide receiver. He was down three of his top five running backs. All three of them were not even suited up.
Right.
He lost his tight end, who had scored a couple of times, lost him in the fourth quarter. He was down to the bare minimum of eligible guys to go out and run some routes, and he still was able to orchestrate with pressure in his face, with the pressure of having to combat Patrick Mahomes, who did not have a very good game, and we'll get into that as well. But I wanted to give you some shine now in regards to talking the defense against that Miami Dolphins team.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, the defense played really, really – I mean, the defense played well. I mean, our defense played well. Their defense, I think they did a really good job of maintaining Mahomes. I mean, you know, you forced the guy into three turnovers just himself. Three picks, and then also forcing another turnover in the game, you would think that would equal, you know, winning football. You know, you force four turnovers, oh, we're going to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something about this Chiefs team, man. It's just something in the air. It's something about Coach Reed, him being able to coach these guys up, him preparing these guys for every single game. Whenever they get in those pressure-tight situations, they perform even better. It's so weird.
It is interesting because I spoke about it on the broadcast with Mitch during the game, is that you don't see them sweat.
No.
We haven't seen this team really sweat since week 10 of last year when they lost to the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, where things weren't going well, they fumbled a snap on a field goal. They had a fourth and two, I believe, where they get the first down, the game's over, and they wind up losing that game down in Nashville. That's kind of the first and only time that I kind of saw a chink in the armor. I kind of saw, you know, that weakness, maybe, you know, and then they were able to recorrect it for, gosh, over 300-something days, I guess, before they lost another game. It's impressive when you are watching a team that has the utmost confidence in each of their phases of the game, and they don't seem to freak out.
Nope.
Now, I will say, there's a lot of fans that I'm sure, like I said during the broadcast, a lot of fans made their way to Walgreens and CVS to get some Valium or heart medicine or something over these last few weeks. Pepto-Bismol for their stomachs and everything, because I can imagine sitting in your living room watching this Chiefs game or each and every week, whether it was the Bucs game, the Raiders game, the Carolina Panthers game, if you weren't at Arrowhead, and now this past game with the Dolphins, where you're like, all right, now, like, All right, now. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like do we have to do this every single week? Like, it's like when you have a kid that you give them a midnight curfew and you sitting up at 11:58 and they still ain't in the door, but they have a knack to get in right at 11:59 or something like that. It's like, do we really have to push this? Can you give me a little bit of a break?
Let me
go to sleep early instead of waiting here for you. But that's just kind of how this team is constructed.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I think other teams recognize that. They recognize, like, okay, we're not in the clear. Now, a couple of them made the mistake of taking some pictures, the San Francisco 49ers celebrating the end zone when they got the interception. They thought the game was over.
Yep.
I got my T-shirt that shows the score at 20-10, and then all of a sudden on the back of the T-shirt it shows the end score. Not many teams make that mistake, but this team is constructed to be fearless and to be unwavering in their confidence in their game plan and in execution. When it's necessary to get done, they seem to have a knack for getting it done.
Yeah, I mean, it starts with the big man, you know, Big Red.
Mm-hmm.
He keeps these guys, you know, he keeps these guys tuned into the game, keeps them focused, keeps them lasered in on what needs to be done. Instead of you know, having to worry about, okay, we're down 10 points, we need to go ahead and make a play. That's when people make more mistakes than anything, and he understands that. So I believe that he is a great person to have because now the entire team embody what he believes.
Yeah.
Every time you see the team go out there and they play well under these pressure situations, just believe that that's an extension of Coach Reed.
And you know, we got the text line open, and from the 816, he said, I think the Chiefs are playing too relaxed, only turning on when they need to. And another 816 says, discredit to Chiefs' conservative play calling on offense. I think that's a good point. I can understand it, I should say. I think there's food for thought in that when they talk about game plans and taking the foot off the gas pedal. Players do not do that.
No.
Contrary to what you may think you see, players, especially in the game of football, do not go soft partway through. They do not take multiple plays off, or they don't cruise into the landing for the end of the game. That's just not a mindset of the players, because that's when guys get hurt.
Yes.
If you know, a true point is, not all the time, everybody gets hurt different ways, but a large part of the time, the person that gets hurt is usually the one that's going slower than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
That's taking a play off or not driving their feet. I think of Michael Thomas. We're playing the Saints this week. Michael Thomas gets hurt early in the season because he gets rolled up. Now, I was always taught as a wide receiver that if I'm blocking, I need to be pushing you forward.
Yep.
And if I'm pushing you forward, although an accident can happen, there's a higher propensity for me to be safe if I'm moving you forward while somebody's being tackled behind me.
Yeah.
But if I'm just standing still and I kind of feel like I'm going to take the playoff, my guy that I'm blocking is not making the tackle, that's when people get rolled up on.
Yep.
If I take a soft set as an offensive lineman and I get bull rushed and pushed a little deep, and now my ankle gets twisted or somebody else's foot steps on my foot, it usually happens. And you can ask most guys when they got hurt. Most of them, if they really wanted to be honest, they would say, "Yeah, I wasn't going as hard as I probably should have."
I could say that.
Yeah. It just I know that for a fact from my own personal. It might have looked like I was winning.
Mm-hmm.
It might have looked like I did my job, but I know internally, man, I could have ran that dude into the sideline. I should have just ran him up into his coach and blocked him all the way through. I should have, tackled. I shouldn't have just stood around the pile waiting for, just to be able to celebrate. I should have just stuck my head in there and on my shoulder and tried to rip the ball out because I stood around the pile and somebody swiped me.
That's how I suffered a broken ankle. It was on the special teams play, actually. I just so happened blocking the long snapper, and it was an easy block. He wasn't the most physical person in the world, and he wasn't fast. So I figured I would go ahead and block him, let my returner go ahead and go off my butt and just go ahead and take it to the house. And he did just that, but I didn't account for the defender diving in and completely missing my returner and hitting my ankle. And that's when I suffered a broken ankle, missed the rest of the year.
Yeah, things happen. And you know what? This Chiefs team is winning football games. I had a person come up to me today and say, hey, how do you think Chiefs are going to do this week? I said, as long as they win by 1 point. That's it.
Yep.
And as a player, that's what you want. Now, ego can say, you know what, if there's some trash talk or something like that, let's blow these guys out of the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but – for the most part, win by 1 point is cool.
Yep.
And this Chiefs team has an opportunity this week, and we'll talk later in the show about this preview. I'll go back to Patrick Mahomes. I saw a stat that for 31 straight games, he had one or less interceptions. 31 straight games. Now, granted, you know, if we were talking about Drew Brees and 31 straight games, you say, okay, well, that's not too bad.
It's not bad.
Because he's been around the league for 50 years.
Yep.
But you're talking about Patrick Mahomes just in his third year of starting, and he's gotten that kind of stat line and the ability to take care of the football. It was a true anomaly that he threw three interceptions in this game. And we can just chalk it up because there's no history of him doing that. It's not a situation not to, you know, besmirch Brett Favre or any of the great quarterbacks that came through, but those guys were more reckless with the football than Patrick Mahomes
is,
and has shown himself to be. So hopefully there are people out there, the Chiefs fans, that are not getting down on this team or you know, watching with squinted eyes and hands over their face because they're a little scared of what can happen based on what they saw this past week. That Miami Dolphins team is a very good football team. It might be a team that we have to play again coming up in the playoffs. Who knows? I thought it was interesting. They have the biggest set of defensive backs. All of them look the same. Mm-hmm. 6'1", 200 pounds. If you look on their roster, they're give or take 3 or 4 pounds. They're all 6'1", 200 pounds.
Yep.
And they're all physical. Safeties and corners. Nickelbacks. They're all the same guy, just with different numbers on. And they take on the identity of their coach in Brian Flores. Chan Gailey does a nice job coaching up Tua and getting the most out of their offense when they've had some injuries that have hurt them. They are a dangerous team, and I want to say that although there's no moral victories, their loss to the Chiefs, mark my words, their loss to the Chiefs might catapult them to a different place than they might have been cruising to. They will be a better team because of how close they played the Super Bowl champs and how young they are. They had four guys starting on offense that were rookies and multiple guys on defense as well. But we are done with the first quarter and done with the Dolphins unless we see them in January. We got to come back for the second quarter, and I want to talk a little bit about some of the twists and turns. We got a little unique situation coming up with the quarterbacking of the New Orleans Saints, and we've both been in that locker room, maybe had some situations with some quarterback controversies and twists and turns, but we're going to talk about that next.
This is Players Only with Damon Hughes and Joe Mays on 610 Sports Radio.
And we're back, Players Only, back in the building each Thursday, 6 to 7 p.m. Joe Mays. And I am Danon Hughes, and we're back for the second quarter. Let me tell you, our partners at U.S. Bank, whether it's home ownership, starting a business, retirement, whatever you need, U.S. Bank, whatever your passion, U.S. Bank can help turn it into your next pursuit. So, Joe, going into the break, we were talking about quarterback situation with the Chiefs, and I just want to give a shout out because I had someone text me, and this is a credit to my Hawkeye edumacation.
Edumacation?
That's not a word, but besmirch is a word.
Yeah.
And somebody tried to call me out on it, like I was making up words up in here, just like I did with edumacation. But that's the Hawkeye / Jersey education that I got. See. I feel like this should be like doves that fly out of this room because
doves? Oh yeah. No, don't you, no? Now you like, you overhyping yourself.
Like nothing? No
doves.
Like,
he said doves.
Nothing?
No doves, no. Pigeons, maybe.
Pigeons? You don't want no dog on pigeons.
Pigeon, maybe some pigeons fly. You get the clapping.
Like we in the Central Park in New York.
Oh yeah.
All right. Anyway, as we get back to football, the text lines are open, 913-576-7610, the phone lines as well. Also want to give a shout-out. For several weeks during this season, I had talked about being the most wanted honoree for Big Brothers Big Sisters and raising money, helping them raise money this year. They just had the banquet and the culmination of the entire year, and they raised $1.3 million.
That's awesome.
So shout out to Big Brothers Big Sisters. Thanks for allowing me to be a part of that. All the people that supported me through the text line, donations, etc. Really, really appreciate you. All was going to a great cause. And although we are in some crazy times during this pandemic, it's always great to see and hear people are still thinking of other people.
Yeah.
And still having that kind of compassion and recognizing that there are others out there that are worse or maybe in worse situations than we are. Amen. So here's what we got. I talked to Joe earlier, and I broached the conversation.
Broached.
There you go. See, another one.
Edumacation.
We need to get like a sound bite, Julio, when I say something that makes me sound smart. It doesn't really happen very often.
Oh, I like it. I like that. Now we can hold on to that one.
Julio, don't let these defensive guys poison your brain, man. You are offensive guy by heart.
Go ahead, Julio. Go ahead. Let that thing sing again. I like it.
This is going to be the shortest show ever. Anyway, I wanted to talk to Joe. Joe, you from the defensive perspective, ever had a situation where you as a player, you would have liked to have another guy start at QB than who actually did? And the reason why I bring that up is because that seems to be a norm around the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
We have a situation this week coming up with the Saints where Taysom Hill is the starting quarterback, but Jameis Winston is the backup. But Jameis Winston is your prototypical quarterback that doesn't know how to take care of the football, and Taysom is kind of a gadget guy.
Yeah.
And some people, there's, you know, people on both sides of the fence on who should be the guy. And now Drew Brees, he may come out like Lamar Jackson out of the locker room. We'll talk about that also. But, you know, who knows who's going to be the quarterback. Now, there's some gamesmanship. There's some strategy involved in, you know, you keep hovering over all three guys so that Andy Reid and Steve Spagnuolo is preparing for all of them and focusing on one. But we've both been in situations where the quarterback that was playing wasn't necessarily the locker room favorite.
Ooh, yeah. and I believe we've had a conversation about said quarterback before.
You can go ahead and say it.
I mean, you know what? Why not? Let me paint the picture. It was the year 2011.
<Dun-dun-dun-dun>.
And you know, Kyle Orton, he was the starting quarterback for us. I was in Denver. We were with the Broncos.
So wait. Before you go on, you're saying that there's somebody that you would have preferred Kyle Orton over.
No. Yes, I was going to get into that. All right. But at some point during the season, we moved from Kyle Orton to Tim Tebow. And, you know, it was a – I can tell you from a defensive standpoint, it was a bit of a challenge. Just because, you know, when it comes to Tim Tebow, he had to kind of catch his foot in a little bit. You know, coming from Florida, running a different style of offense than an NFL-controlled offense. So it took some getting used to. I mean, we had to play 90, 95, you know, sometimes close to 100 defensive plays a game just for him to catch his footing. So from our side of it, we're just thinking, all right, look, we need an offense that can at least manage the ball, keep us on the field, keep us drinking some Gatorade, some water, you know, keep us off our feet. Because, I mean, 90 plays a game, you know, 4 or 5 weeks in a row, that just takes a toll on your body.
Any coach ever go to or any player ever go to the coaches and be like, all right, now, coach, you know, can you help us out with something? Can we get this other dude on there? Can we get 15 off the field and Orton on the field?
Nah, that's not something that you want to do. You don't want to go to the coach and let them know that you don't believe in a player. Like, I've never really been one to go and talk bad about a guy, not to a coach.
Understandable.
I mean, you know, the coach, they put us out there, they get us prepared, but we got a job we got to take care of.
How about the coaches coming to you? Now, I know, I mean, it's right now, you know, I heard around the league, Deshaun Watson is going to have a hand in who's going to be the next coach in Houston. We hear about that more so in the NBA level, about coaches, the carousel and players, high octane players being connected to and with the owner and the GM in regards to who they're bringing in. Coaches going to players. Because, you know, for the fans out there listening, there's a lot of human, regular, man-to-man conversations that happen on the field and in the locker room mm-hmm. with coaches to players. Heck, sometimes the coaches are younger than the players
yeah.
at times. So it's not just about like the high school where there's the coach is the older guy and then there's a bunch of kids playing. Mm-hmm. Like, you're calling everybody by their first names. This is like grown man business. Same thing you would happen in, that would happen in your office. Mm-hmm. And there's conversations that happen. I mean, oh, yeah. I had Al Saunders was our offensive coordinator, wide receiver coach, and there were times where he didn't even know when people got cut. Like yeah. he would come in the locker room and be like, "Dana, yo, where's Sean at?" Like, "Sean got cut."
He's like, "Oh, that's happened plenty of times."
Yeah, oh yeah, that happens normally right around training camp, towards the end of training camp. You just like they're so involved in the game plan and practice plan and so on mm-hmm. that. A lot of the stuff that happens transactionally, they don't know. They don't know, oh, man, you signed, you know, I heard you signed a new contract type yeah. of thing or something like that. They, like, coaches don't know, but there's a lot of that man-to-man conversations. Oh, and yeah. you can have a conversation where a coach be like, "Dana, what you think of that corner over there? Oh, you know, yeah. what do you think about that guy we just brought in?"
Yeah.
And you just talk real. Like, you just really having a real conversation where you have to balance as a player, you know, am I talking to my coach? Where I would say, "Oh, he's a good guy," blah, blah, blah. Or mm-hmm. am I talking to another dude?
Yeah.
Where I'm like, you know, doggone well, coach. That yeah, dude.
we call those off-the-record conversations. Yeah. You know, those are not conversations that's recorded.
Yeah.
It's not conversations that's going to make it back to anyone else, you know, after we sit there and have those after we sit there and talk. It's just, you know, us just coming together and having a conversation it feels like it's kind of away from football a little bit.
Yeah.
Where it's just, you know, man-to-man, like you said before. I've had plenty of those, and you know, it's always where you just get a chance to voice your opinion, and you're not going to get judged.
Yeah.
You're not going to have anyone come back and kind of, you know, point at you for saying what you said. It's just us being real.
Yeah, being real, having a moment of realness with your coach, who happens to be another dude who might feel the same way as you. He just yeah. want to see if you're going to be real with him. It's kind of one of those relationships, just like you have with a friend based on a girlfriend or whatever. You have a real conversation, and that happens. I will say I was part of one of the probably greater moments or crazier moments in Chiefs history that was involved communication with the coaches.
Uh-oh.
The Monday Night Miracle, Chiefs-Broncos, 1994, Joe Montana versus John Elway. Derek Thomas missed a meeting. Marty calls us in to his suite at the hotel. We're in Denver. He calls us into the suite hotel. All the captains. I was a captain. Mm-hmm. It was only my second year in the league, and I was a captain. And he said, I'm thinking about benching Derek. And I want the captain's input.
Yep.
So I'm in there with Joe, Marcus, Joe Phillips, myself. I want to say Tracy Rogers was the other special teams captain. And I can't remember who was on defense with Joe Phillips.
Cut to the point. Who are you throwing under the bus today?
So anyway, lo and behold, as everybody knows from watching the documentary and watching that game and watching the clips before, Derek Thomas did not start that game. He wound up going in the second quarter, and he wound up doing damage in the game, mainly because he was stewing on the sideline, I'm sure. He did damage in most every game he played, but he was stewing on the sideline. But that was the one time, one of a few times where coaches would have real conversations, but that was one that really impacted the game. So when you have a Tim Tebow situation where when he came in 2011 to Arrowhead and completed only two passes and they beat the Chiefs 17-10, there's guys on the team like you that's like, can we get somebody? Yeah. Do we still want to go to the bullpen and get somebody else?
And the thing is, it's not much you can say because they spent the first rounder bringing this guy in hopes that he's going to, you know, be the quarterback of the future. And, you know,
it happens.
It does happen. But you can't sit there and tell them who they should and shouldn't be playing. I mean, they spent the first rounder. They got to make sure they know what they got to know what they have, you know, in order to determine the future. So they allow them to go out there and play. And whether they struggle or whether they do well, that's just, you know, it's just all in the cards. Whatever's being played, being played.
And just understand, Chiefs fans, publicly, you may not know or ever hear of conversations, stories, input that players have mm-hmm. in regards to who's on the roster, who's not on the roster, coaches, involvement. We already hear from Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce that they go to Andy Reid with plays that they want to run. So it would be easy to believe that they also go with personnel, suggestions, and so on. That happens. That's part of the business. And some other stuff that went on this past week, we got guys going to locker rooms with so-called cramps, and I want to talk a little bit about that because I did that when I was in college, and I'm sure Joe had some other situations that he's been a part of, some wacky stuff on the field. We're going to get to that in third quarter.
This is Players Only with Danan Hughes and Joe Mays on 610 Sports Radio.
Halftime's over. Players Only is back. Joe Mays and I'm Danan Hughes. We're back for a little bit less than a half an hour for the second half of this show. This third quarter of Players Only is brought to you by U.S. Bank. Whatever your passion, U.S. Bank can turn it into your next pursuit. We got some action on the text line, Joe.
Yeah, I'm reading a text from 913. Can a coach be friends with a player in the NFL, or is it more of a mutual respect than a friendship? I think it's definitely a mutual respect, because you're not going to sit there and try to have those one-on-one men type conversation if you don't respect the person. But it's a mutual respect that, you know, you can sit there, you can have a conversation and know that this is not a conversation that's going to leave this room.
Yeah.
And it's definitely not being recorded, and it's not going to leave the room, like I said before. So, yeah, it can happen, and it happens all throughout the NFL. But, it's always one of those situations where there's always that respect between player and coach, to where you can have those men-to-men conversations and not have to worry about anything.
And so, to me, just in general, Joe, respect is the main thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I tell my kids, I live by – there's a difference between having a friend and being friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think coaches are generally friendly with all the players. To me, that's part of the job. You need to be friendly with everybody.
Some guys aren't, though.
Yeah.
Some coaches, they're not like that.
They don't have that personality. Yep. You're right. That's true. I could think of some, too. You're right. But respect. Like, they're going to respect you on the field. And I think players, I know I live and die for respect.
Mm-hmm.
Whether in my house, whether it's in my relationships or whatever. Like, that's no, I don't care if you like me. You just got to respect me.
Yeah.
And I think in the locker room, that's the same thing that you see is coaches, they might be, ornery and cussing every three words out of their mouth and screaming and yelling at you, but you can tell they respect you.
Oh, no doubt.
And if they don't respect you, that's where things come to a head.
Yep.
Where you've seen players getting in the faces of other coaches
I've definitely seen that.
And we've been around that as well. Oh, there was a snafu in the game last week with Lamar Jackson. Cramps. Got to go take a dump, whatever way you want to say it. He's claiming that it was just cramps. I've never personally seen a guy leave the sideline for cramps. Like, what you going to leave the sideline, unless you're going to get an IV.
Yeah.
That's the only reason you would leave the sideline for cramps is if you're going to get an IV.
Did he get an IV?
I didn't hear anything about him getting an IV.
Did you see, did he have a wrap around his arm?
Well, he had the long sleeves on and stuff, so
You
couldn't tell.
Okay.
But the way he was moving into that locker room, like, I never seen nobody run into a locker room with cramps. Like,
no.
If I got cramps, I'm going to get to the locker room.
Right.
The IV is going to be there.
More than likely, I'll probably get carted in there.
But I've been in a situation where I've been a player to have to go take a dump.
Oh, man.
Right before halftime. Like, I can't wait till halftime. This last drive of the second quarter, I'm going to go be like Willis Reed and run into the locker room.
Yep.
Paul Pierce. Like, it just happens. Like, your breakfast, your pregame meal just don't agree with you during that time, and you got to go. And you got white pants on, and you don't want none running down your legs.
I've seen that happen. Yeah, I've seen that happen. Now, that's disturbing.
That's
disturbing. Like, to see a guy in white pants, and then all of a sudden, it ain't white no more. That's a disturbing sight to see. So, yeah. I can see why he booked it to the locker room.
Yeah.
So is that why he went to the locker room? He had to use the bathroom.
I'm going on that side that he had to take a dump.
There
like
we go.
He they're going to have to show me that he had an IV, or they're going to have to tell me he had an IV in the locker room, because there's no other reason to me why you go to the locker room during the game with cramps.
Right.
That's just no reason.
Run into the locker room with
running in
cramps.
There. We're almost running over the person coming out of the locker room.
Yeah, no, it doesn't happen.
There's a place you needed to be.
I wouldn't mind telling
if you gotta go.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind telling nobody. I don't care who it is. I gotta go to the bathroom. It just is what it is.
So, in with that happening, they have to shuffle their quarterbacks in. They get McSorley from Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
He gets hurt, and you have a gadget situation at quarterback, because now you have you know, Lamar Jackson, some people consider him a gadget. I don't, because when you win the MVP, to me, you're not a gadget.
Right.
Cam Newton the same way. But there are gadget quarterbacks out there. Now, you from a defensive perspective as a linebacker, I'm sure you've seen some. Heck, I think on the open, when you're introduced into this show, it talks about you chasing down Cam Newton and he's running the ball.
Yeah.
And some people might call him a gadget. I wouldn't, but gadget quarterbacks around the league.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they're actually the toughest ones to go against, because now it's three different possibilities that they can go with it. You know, they can have their certain plays where they're just running just a regular type offense, where, you know, they're handing the ball off, they're dropping back, whatever. Then it's also where now they have these running plays that's built just around them.
Yeah.
And depending on these gadget quarterbacks that we speak of, I mean, you know, most of the time they're fast or they're bigger. So now they're just as big as the linebackers, more so probably bigger than the DBs, where they can kind of run through and run around. Yeah, like a Cam Newton. That dude is huge. Until you see him up close in person, that dude right there is huge.
Josh Brown over in Buffalo.
Yeah.
They are big dudes.
Big dudes.
Big Ben.
So, you know, it's definitely tough to go against a guy like that, because it's way too many ways, you know, that he can beat you.
Yeah.
So now you have to, you know, basically expand on the defensive playbook instead of just keeping things super simple. So it kind of makes for a headache for the defensive coaches to kind of learn.
And you can't tee off on them.
And you can't.
Because they are quarterbacks protected.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of the times it kind of takes away from your normal reads as a linebacker. You're taught to read, you know, the triangle, which is the center, the guard, back into the backfield. And it kind of changes the way that you read these plays, because now you're not just looking at what, you know, the running back is doing. You're not just looking at what the offensive line is doing. Now you have to account for an extra player, which is the quarterback that's in the run game.
I thought y'all just saw and hit people. I didn't think y'all had reads.
Oh, man, come on, man. You know, it's more look, the hidden, the running, the hidden, the knocking people around, that's a part of the game. Now, when it comes to
– That's the icing on the cake?
That's the icing on the cake. But when it comes to really knowing what a team can do, we got to be smart enough to know exactly what's going to hit us and where our weaknesses are.
Yeah, the gadget quarterback can be very unique. It's like most rookie pitchers, for most people out there know I'm a baseball guy, most rookie pitchers are somewhat successful on their first start.
Yep.
Mainly because there's no film.
No.
You don't know what you're going to get. They're going to be dominant in a lot of cases. I wouldn't say all cases, but in a lot of cases, they're going to be pretty dominant or at least very strong in their first start.
Yep.
That's kind of like what we're going to be coming up against, the Taysom Hill. He started off strong. Now people are starting to figure him out. They lost last week, and now there's the juggling of the quarterback position that we are leading into this week. And we got to talk about the Saints, because this is going to be a very, very good football team, and they have a chip on their shoulder. They lost last week, and they're looking for some redemption, and they're looking to get back and secure that number one seed in the NFC. So a lot on the line, a good test for the Chiefs, especially where we're standing. We're going to talk about that preview when we come back.
This is Players Only with Danan Hughes and Joe Mays on 610 Sports Radio.
All right, we're winding down for the fourth quarter of the show. This quarter is sponsored by our friends at U.S. Bank. Whatever your passion, U.S. Bank can help turn it into your next pursuit. I did not besmirch the name of Sean Barber.
Besmirch.
Shout out to Miko, who thought that was not a word. And I'm not besmirching her.
Throw under the bus.
There you go. I had to mention it.
Yep.
She thought she got over, because I waited until the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
But we're in the fourth quarter, and we got to talk Chiefs Saints. This preview, this is going to be a tough game, like I mentioned.
Yep. And I'm looking forward to seeing how the defense play against Taysom Hill, which, you know, he's a guy who can both run and throw the ball. He can throw the ball really well, and he's a bigger quarterback that, you know, tends to bowl over smaller defenders. So it's going to be key that, you know, not only do the Chiefs, you know, they're able to stop the running game, because they do have some talented guys in the running backfield, in the backfield, but they're going to have to figure out a way to stop Taysom Hill from running the ball. And, you know, a lot of teams, they haven't really found the right recipe in order to stop him from running and keep him one-dimensional. So it's going to be key for the Chiefs to come out and try to figure out a way to do that. So in my eyes, whenever you're playing against quarterbacks like this that can definitely run the ball whenever they need to, it's going to be key to have a spy on them. Now, the only downside to having a spy, it basically cuts your play calling in down tremendously, because if you have a spy, you have to go man defense.
Yeah.
And if you go man defense, you're only going to have a single high safety left.
The only way that you can avoid being predictable in man situation is kind of what we faced with the Raiders in the game one of this year, mm-hmm. where they were able to get pressure
yeah.
with three guys or four guys, and then you're able to have a guy like Littleton or Kwiatkowski that they had on the Raiders spy Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, and I think for us that'd be Sorensen.
Yeah, Sorensen. We've basically activated since Dorian O'Daniel went down. We've had no more than four linebackers active for any game.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, Daniel Sorensen is a guy that's kind of the hybrid.
Yep.
He plays that linebacker position. You'll see him and Willie Gay Jr. be interchangeable. He's a linebacker, safety, whatever, coverage, blitzing, and so on. So, yeah, I think there you have to be creative with Taysom Hill. He's third on the team in rushing at 395 yards. He's throwing for near 1,000
yep.
in his opportunities. They are not a deep threat type of team, although if you become predictable with man-to-man coverage, they will try to take the top off the
Definitely.
Defense. They have some very capable wide receivers as well. So this game, offensively, going against the top defense, top rushing defense, very good passing defense, a very strong special teams as well. This is going to be a challenge, especially down there in New Orleans. So this Chiefs team has to play up to their potential, and the Saints on their home turf, you do not want to give them life
yeah.
in the late fourth quarter like we've done with the Bucs and the Panthers and last week with the Dolphins.
Yeah, man, and they're going to do a good job of mixing in a little bit of man with some zone
yep.
and definitely toss in some pressures. They have Coach Allen, who was the defensive coordinator. He coached me in Denver.
Dennis Allen.
Yeah, he coached me in Denver. He's a D coordinator there now. So he does a good job of mixing play calls and throwing a little bit of this, a little bit of that against the offenses. So they're going to see some different things, you know, that's played against them out there on the field. So now the only thing that I would have to say is taking advantage of the man coverage that they play.
Yeah.
I mean, because, you know, those corners, they like to get up, play bump and run. They like to get in your face. They like to throw the receivers off a little bit. They like to trash talk.
We've seen that with the Buccaneers. That
yeah.
didn't work well.
Yeah, and you see them always. It's always someone on the opposing team that want to fight. So it's going to be
some
different
things. Why they always want to fight us wide receivers, man? Like I said, we're pure as the driven snow.
Yeah, man. I'm you know, that's just the way it's played. But, you know, they do that type of thing to try to take. Did you say pure snow? I had to stop what I said. Did you say come on, man.
We are pure as the driven snow, man.
As the driven snow. Yeah. I've never heard that until tonight.
I'm learning everybody something in here. I'm learning everybody
something
this week.
With your education.
I just turned 50, and I must be getting smarter.
Well, you said it. Yeah, I mean, well, like I was saying, you know, the Chiefs are going to have to, you know, come out and really, really dominate and be able to take advantage of the man coverage that they're going to see.
Yeah.
And just try to make some plays.
Yeah, I think, again, just like we did against the Buccaneers, you do not abandon the run game just because you're going against a very good run defense.
No.
They are a top team, second in the NFL, just giving up just under 90 yards per game rushing. They are second in the NFL with total net yards, their defense, and just under 300 yards total per game. They get some heat on opposing quarterbacks. They are tied with us for seventh in the NFL in takeaways. So, yeah, this is going to be a really, really big challenge. And like I said earlier, because they lost last week, because they're still vying for that top seed in the NFC, they're still whispers that Drew Brees could come back from his fractured ribs and those injuries that he sustained several weeks ago. I don't think it would be smart to me. If you think that Taysom Hill can be a guy that can bring you through the playoffs, mm-hmm. then maybe you bring Drew Brees back.
Yeah.
But if you think that Drew Brees is the quarterback that can carry you, a healthy Drew Brees can bring you through the playoffs, then you hold him out because you already know you're going to pretty much be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So you just hold him out, and you just got an uphill battle on playing on the road. I'd rather play on the road with a healthy Drew Brees than play him now, possibly secure a one seed or a two seed, have some home field games, but have a Drew Brees at 60 to 70%.
Yeah.
That would be my mindset. Fortunately, at this time, we don't have that problem. We got a healthy quarterback, a healthy team for the most part. We do have a couple of offensive linemen that have been in and out of practice, and we're hoping that we can get them back. I do, before we end this show, want to shout out to my wife and my kids for setting up an amazing 50th celebration this past weekend. They caught me off guard, bro. They got me in every direction. Videos from teammates, former Chiefs teammates, etc.
Awesome.
It was absolutely amazing, and I appreciate it.
Did you cry?
Yes, I did. I cried. I laughed. I did it all.
Yeah.
But the one thing I will be, I'll be back next week.
Oh, yeah. I'll be back, too.
Hopefully this Chiefs win. We hope to, for everybody else to be listening with us next week. We may be on a different day, but we'll be back. Players only. Peace.
This is Players Only with Danan Hughes and Joe Mays on 610 Sports Radio.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.